Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville.
Yeah.
He's back in the O-Town. And Jason Bishop. He's just two studios away from me.
Hello. I'm
in between, we got the boys behind the glass. Our producers, Drab and Valdez, Matt and Matt from Bit Season, which you can listen to on Thursdays.
Correct.
Thank well, you can listen to it every day, but new episodes come out on Thursdays. Since we're talking about quarterbacks, I just put up poll of the day. There's a new rumor. Of course, the Bears fired Matt Nagy, and they're also looking for a new general manager.
Yeah.
And when you have a new regime, I don't know if they're going to start with the coach or start with the general manager, but it's going to be a new regime. Oftentimes, the first thing that new regime will do is look for a new quarterback. Because it kind of sucks when you have an inherited quarterback you don't believe in. Just ask Ron Rivera. He inherited Dwayne Haskins. How did that work out?
Not so well. Well, it turns out Dwayne Haskins was just ill-prepared to play in the NFL and didn't take his job seriously. But look, that's not Ron Rivera's fault. It's just, like you said, it's what he inherited when he signed here.
Anyway, the rumor is that Justin Fields may be traded this offseason. So the question I want to throw out to Washington fans, we were just talking about Jimmy G.
And the majority, move on to another one.
The majority of Washington football team fans are anti bringing in Jimmy G, Jason. Mm-hmm. You were pretty close when you predicted 70% would say no. Mm-hmm. Should Washington bring in Justin Fields, Cakes? Yes or no?
I am intrigued by Justin Fields.
Did he show you something this year?
Now, he was in a horrible situation because Nagy was on his way out. Nagy clearly didn't want to tailor his offense around the skill set that Justin Fields brought. And again, he's not a finished product as a passer, but he's farther along, it looks like, than Trey Lance. He can obviously use his legs as well. Like, he developed the chemistry with Darnell Mooney. He will take deep shots down the field, which, last time I checked, would work well with the Terry McLaurin type here in Washington. I don't hate the idea of trying to acquire Justin Fields if all of a sudden he's out of favor in Chicago.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Gambit DC listener lines.
Because,
look, he had some disastrous games, Cakes. Disastrous games.
I take the Cleveland game, his debut, and I throw that out. Because Nagy was just calling plays that didn't make sense for him. He wasn't running him out of the pocket. He wasn't making him mobile. Like, he was trying to turn him into a statue quarterback. It was almost like he was trying to get fired. I don't understand what he was doing there down the stretch. But maybe Justin Fields, these new locale, change of scenery after just one season. I'd be more intrigued by him than Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, you probably win more games quicker with Garoppolo because he's been in the league longer, has more experience. But if you want upside and somebody that you can groom for the next 3 years, if Rivera is here for three more years, I would pick Fields over Garoppolo. But that's just me.
800-636-1067. So he finished the regular season with 7 touchdowns, 10 picks, quarterback rating of 73.2. You could maybe say he got a little bit better down the stretch, although he threw a lot of interceptions and
He took a lot of sacks. A lot of sacks.
He's learning the game. I don't think they're going to trade him. I know it's a rumor out there. I just don't think they're going to trade him. I think whatever young up-and-coming coach, whether it's a Brian Daboll type from Buffalo, takes the job, he's going to want to inherit a young quarterback like he did with Josh Allen. So I think that
Justin Fields
will
stay. You're going to want to inherit a quarterback or maybe draft a quarterback?
I don't think any of the quarterbacks that are be drafted this year are better than Justin Fields.
I agree with that.
So I like the upside with Justin Fields more than I like, you know, the upside of Matt Corral.
And maybe a Daboll sees Josh Allen in Justin Fields and says he's not there yet, but you know, under my tutelage, I can develop him into that sort of a weapon.
Actually, the Bears, I don't think, have a first round draft pick. They traded it to the Giants.
Yeah. So they couldn't draft a quarterback in the first round. I mean, unless they traded Fields for a first-round pick, obviously. But I don't know. Would you be interested in Fields? Of course you would be. Especially because he can run.
And some people argue that the Washington football team should have been interested in him in the year that he was drafted, last year. Move up 7 or 8 spots, get in front of the Bears, pick Justin Fields, and then you'd be in year 2 with the guy in your system. But instead, they went Jamin Davis, and we know how that worked out, at least after one season.
There could be some crazy things happening in the offseason, though. So I could be totally wrong. Maybe they do trade Fields. I think I would be shocked if they did. But
there are going to be some dominoes fall.
Think about how many guys, new coaches you're going to see this year because of all the vacancies.
Right. That would be surprising because if you're the new Bears GM, how are you going to lure any sort of head coach that you want that you think is any good if you've just traded your first-round quarterback and you've got literally nothing at the quarterback spot?
Right.
You don't even have a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, where do the Bears go if they're going to trade Justin Fields? So that I kind of agree with Jason in that it's probably smoke. Why would they deal their first-round pick after just 1 year with a new coach coming in? I find that a little bit far-fetched.
But maybe they trade up somehow to get somebody they believe in. I'm just saying, a new head coach starts fresh with somebody they draft, and the dominoes are going to fall, right? So it's going to be Aaron Rodgers on the move, or maybe he stays in Green Bay, but Russell, I mean, kind of the same guys that we talked about last offseason, right? Except it seems more serious,
Didn't Russ have Chicago as one of his cities that he'd be willing to be traded to on his list?
I think it was
Chicago,
right.
New Orleans.
But anyway,
a couple others.
Mm-hmm. Once you kind of see those things shake out, let's say Aaron Rodgers leaves. And he lands in Vegas. Now all of a sudden, Derek Carr shakes free.
Yeah.
Jimmy G's going to move around. Like, you just never know. And I'm just wondering, I didn't get to watch Justin Fields enough other than, you know, red zone highlights. And it wasn't pretty. And he took a lot of sacks, man. Like, I just don't know that his pocket presence is that great.
Well, he also had a dreadful offensive line.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of talent around him either. Too. I
mean, he was sacked 36 times in 12 games.
Yeah. Well, like Cake said, the offensive line didn't help. And he's learning the game.
By the way,
he's a rookie.
10 interceptions, 12 fumbles.
Yeah, that's a bad year. But he'll get better.
Let's go to the phones.
Will he?
Yeah, I think he'll get better.
I know. Look, this is like one of the stupid early offseason, let's just throw crap against the wall. I can't imagine anywhere that somebody would trade Justin Fields after 1 year. It just, I don't know.
There's not a guarantee. It gets better.
Why would you take the job if you're a coach?
I agree.
And you don't know who your quarterback is.
And you don't like Justin Fields. Because they just fired their GM, right? They don't even have a GM.
GM's gone.
Yeah, but we saw this in Washington. And you give a guy a look like Rivera gave Haskins a look. And most people thought Rivera didn't like him to begin with. But he gave him a look because he inherited him. So maybe that's a bad move because you're wasting your time. So a head coach comes in there and says, I don't like Justin Fields. I want to get somebody in the draft, or I'm going to get somebody in free agency. And they move on quickly.
I just think that's a big-time risk.
That's risky. They're going to look at free agency and say,
what free agency?
I can't wait
there
to sign Teddy Bridgewater to a 2 or 3 year deal.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
that QB class was also loaded. 3 quarterbacks went in the top 6 picks. And they were all high on them.
I just think he'll get better. You can't just give up on Justin Fields with his attributes.
Now, if you're Washington
after a bad season,
and you can convince the stupid Bears to give up on Fields after one season, and you like him, and you think he works within the framework of your offense, by all means, make them an offer and see if you can pry him loose.
Jason, Dwayne Haskins didn't get better.
No, he didn't get better, but Fields was just on another level anyway, just as a quarterback, even in college.
Let's go to Kevin in Lanham. Kevin, you're on with the Junkies. What's good?
Morning, Junks. Morning, my fellow Lanhamers, when you used to be in Lanham.
What's up?
Mm-hmm. Hey, I have hang-ups against Justin Fields, and I'm sorry to say, but I had hang-ups when we drafted Dwayne Haskins because no Ohio State quarterback ever did anything in the NFL. But I gave him a chance. I was like, okay, yeah, we could go with this because he broke Drew Brees' record in the Big Ten for touchdown passes. But I'm staying away from Ohio State quarterbacks, and you fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's how I feel about the situation. I know there's a lot of potential there, but I don't like it. I don't like it. And the Cardinals traded Justin Rosen the first year after 1 year,
Josh,
and now they're in a better quarterback situation. So why can't, you know, the Bears do the same thing?
You're right. There's precedent.
Well, there, you got to get somebody, so it's going to be someone new. I mean, maybe it's Heinicke to start, but you're going to have someone young sit behind him and kind of learn and ultimately be the starter. But you're right, JP. The dominoes are going to fall because, especially if Rodgers moves on. If Rodgers stays in Green Bay, then you know a lot of these guys might stay where they are. But if he does leave, and then you've got guys like you know the guys you said are available, the Derek Carrs of the world, there's going to be a lot of moves. Not just with coaching vacancies, because there's going to be 7 or 8 different coaches, new coaches next year, but with quarterbacks. It'll be interesting.
Did Fields have a game or two where he flashed and you're like, okay, this guy's going to be a stud?
Yes. I remember watching one game. I can't remember who they were playing, but he was really good. He had a really nice fourth and goal. I think it was a fourth down conversion where he ran and he I can't remember the
his
actual opponent.
His best QBR game was actually against the Niners. Now, didn't
maybe it was
up,
the San Francisco
game. He only
game.
Put up 175 yards passing in that game.
You have
one
to look
touchdown,
at his rushing,
one
too.
Pick.
I think
but that's
was,
the game where he ran for 103 yards.
I think it was San Francisco, yeah. He played. Now, they lost the game, but he looked really good in that game.
I think it's a stretch. If you have 7 touchdowns and 10 interceptions – there's not many games where you're blowing people away.
But that is kind of like what Josh Allen had as a rookie,
right? It was bumpy. It was no doubt bumpy. But he had a horrendous offensive line. By the way, I can't believe that the Bears just let Charles Leno walk because they didn't want to pay him. I guess they're just tightwads, didn't want to pay him. He's actually a respectable offensive lineman, and Washington football team inked him to an extension.
Well, that's why they're getting a new GM.
That's part of the reason. So I'm going to give Justin Fields a pass for him being in a really bad situation, surrounded by not a lot of talent in year one in Chicago.
I just
I'm not
looked
ready
it up.
To punt on him.
He had better stats as a rookie than Josh Allen had as a rookie. Josh Allen, 10 touchdowns, 12 picks, quarterback rating of 68 as a rookie. Look, it's close, but Justin Fields' quarterback rating was 73. A little bit better.
Just think if Buffalo had given up on Josh Allen.
Yeah. Let's go to Carlos in Manassas. Carlos, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Junkies? Love
hey,
your
man.
Show.
Thank you so much
for having me. No worries. I just wanted to say that I think maybe Justin Fields would be kind of a good fit for Washington just because you go back to how Rivera and Cam Newton was when it came to the running plays and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, it would be hard to see if the Bears would let him go that fast. I mean, it would be crazy, but you know, in the NFL, anything is possible. So I think, you know, he'd be kind of a good fit for Washington if they were willing to give him the chance. I think Rivera does have some stuff in his playbook as we go back to where, you know, with Cam Newton days.
Well, yeah, Scott
yeah,
Turner would be
comp.
Running
Absolutely.
The plays.
Would you trade, what would the trade package look like? Would you trade the number one and, I don't know, like a future third rounder for Justin Fields? I would do that in a heartbeat.
Well,
if I were Washington football team,
at minimum, that's what you'd have to give up.
Well, he was drafted
you're gonna
10th
have to
or
give up
11th.
The number one.
He was in that range, yeah. So you give up basically the same pick. You throw in a third rounder, maybe a second. And I think that gets it done.
I don't think his stock went up, though. Would you give up extra?
Wouldn't you just rather keep the pick and take right. Cody Pickett? Or
yeah.
Not if you think Pickett isn't as good. If you think Justin Fields is way better than Pickett or Corral, I'm definitely dealing 11 and some other asset. You know what? You could take Daron Payne. You're not going to re-sign him anyway. Take the pick and Payne. Give Washington football team Fields, and there's your reset. That's the guy that Rivera's married
to for the rest
of his tenure here.
Why would a guy come in to Chicago not knowing who his quarterback's going to be? Because you're not guaranteed to get Kenny Pickett.
Right. I think it's a long shot. But again, Washington football team, they have to exhaust everything. They have to go through every scenario.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they will.
They have to.
I don't know. Like I said, I'd be shocked if the Bears traded him, unless the offer was outrageous. I just don't see them giving up on him.
Oh, I'm not in the business of making outrageous offers.
After 10 or 12 games.
Where the other team bamboozles me.
Yeah, but I'm into winning trades. If Cakes is right, and let's say Russell Wilson wants to go to the Windy City, and Russell Wilson becomes a Bear, well, they're going to bounce Justin Fields out there in a heartbeat.
I find that laughable and an incredible long shot that Russ Wilson would want to resurface in Chicago. Like that franchise seems like they're rudderless at this point. Why would you want to go there?
Hey, this
it doesn't
be,
make sense.
This needs to be said about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has no options. He's in a contract.
If that is true.
If Seahawks want him to play, he has to play in Seattle. And, it doesn't matter if he wants to be a right. Broadway star. Right. It's irrelevant.
Well, he's then, so
and,
wooden.
And then, if he's traded, like you said, because he's under contract, if he's traded to Chicago, well, Seattle definitely wants Justin Fields back in the trade. So he's going to be off the market.
By the way,
not going to be able to get him.
Aaron Rodgers is under contract too.
Of course.
They just find a way to make it happen.
All these guys we're talking about are all under contract.
You think Russell Wilson is going to sit out and not play for the Seahawks?
No, but he might find a way to wedge his way out of there.
Why are you talking about it for a year?
I could see him going to a New York because New York's got the two first-round picks, and that'll be enough to entice Seattle to do it. But I would agree with Drabby. I don't see 98% chance he's going to stay in Seattle.
The only reason Russell Wilson leaves Seattle is if Pete Carroll wants him out, not because Russell Wilson wants to leave.
Are you surprised that they brought Carroll back? I saw they fired Norton, but are you surprised?
No, I think they owed him $60 million. He signed a five-year extension.
Oh, it's a financial thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think they wanted to get rid of the guy after one bad year.
Yeah. But I agree with you. I don't think Wilson's going anywhere. Just like I don't think Rodgers is going anywhere. I think he's going to be in Green Bay next year.
I wouldn't mind if he went somewhere. I'm just saying, Russell Wilson has about as much control as I do.
You're right.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere. Where are you going, Drab? You're going nowhere. You're stuck.
I'm stuck here forever.
You're stuck in that one seat right there.
Unless one of those penny stocks hits, Case.
Oh, he better have a billion shares if he wants them to hit.
Doesn't he have a billion
shares?
He
might. He very well could.
Of some sort of crypto?
He has a billion shares of a meaningless crypto.
Well, they're looking about as valuable as Zach Wilson.
Yeah, it's not a good comp.
All right, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Remember, we have the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Peter Laviolette, coming on at 7:40 here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Poll of the day presented by Van Meter Homes. You can vote at Junks Radio. Jason, what's your guess on how many people want Justin Fields?
Whoa. I'm going to say it's higher than Jimmy G. I'll say 48%.
You're pretty close, man. You're on at 44% right now. Yes. So Junkies Poll of the Day brought to you by Van Meter Homes. You can vote at Junks Radio. Drab handed me the story about wasting time. The average American wastes almost 2 hours a day. And one of the number one things that is a waste of time is being stuck on hold.
Oh.
Being stuck in traffic, waiting in lines, all of those things are considered time wasters.
Yep.
Some of them not your choice. You just have to deal with. And I have to tell you, the stuck on hold thing, this is a pet peeve of mine. I'm not somebody that gets angry. I don't have a ton of pet peeves. But it seems like every utility that you call, doesn't matter, cable, utility, whatever, if you call them, it will automatically say, we're experiencing longer than usual hold times.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, that is their automatic message. I don't know that I've ever called utility in the last 2 years and not received that same message.
I agree.
And then there was one trip where I was like, I am not losing to the hold. Like, what is your limit, your personal limit for being on hold?
10 minutes, I think.
Yeah. 10 minutes.
10, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I told you that I drove back from New Jersey, and look, I've had to deal with a lot of these utilities. I moved personally, so I had to shut down utilities from the skinny townhouse as I moved into the new house. I had to start new utilities, but then I also had to deal with it when my mom passed with that house, and so I've had to deal with a lot. And there was one call that I had to take care of. Like, I was able to shut down all these bills from my mom, but there was one that was still out there that I literally was on hold for over 2 hours. Mm. And I just put my phone. I mean, my phone was there in the car, so it's going through the Bluetooth. And I was like, I'm just going to listen to this stupid song until somebody picks up.
Yeah, I don't have that sort of
And it was
patience.
Like 2 hours.
Yeah.
But I have a new situation where I'm getting estimated water bills.
Oh.
Which can cost you a lot, right?
Oh, they can't. If you have a toilet that's running and don't realize it, or a leak, you can get a big, fat water bill.
And
big
so I got this letter from the utility company that I'm supposed to get a meter reading. And it said, it actually threatens. It says, we can cut off your water in 30 days unless you have somebody come over for meter reading. Call this number to schedule an appointment.
You know what?
I was on hold for 35 minutes, Cakes, I tapped out.
Here's what I would consider that. An idle threat by the water company. By the water company. That's what I would consider that. They're not going to. Why would they turn off your water?
Is the reason that this is happening because of COVID and there's just not enough employees at all of these companies
to
take the
calls? I'm sure that's part of it. I mean, every place has like an employee shortage.
Maybe, yeah. But I haven't tested this, but the hours to call this utility company, I believe it starts at 7:30 a.m., till 7 p.m. or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I called the other day. Like I said, I was on hold for 35 minutes. And I intended to stay on hold and just do other things. Just, you know, put the phone on speaker.
Yeah.
I hear the music. And then when somebody says something, then I finally jump to the phone. But I put it in my pocket as I answered the door, and it hung up.
It's too annoying.
I was like, I'm not dealing with this again.
Well, I don't know how you guys feel about this, Valdez and Drab, but this happened to me. Now, it wasn't 2 hours. It was about 35 minutes. That I was on hold with my bank. And I'm not going to say who my bank is. I don't know if they're a sponsor. I'd like to kill them right now. But the fact that I was on hold for 35 minutes to try and tell them that my daughter was going to Europe and I wanted to make sure her debit card was going to work over there, I had to wait for 35 minutes, and I was on hold. I sent them an email, and I destroyed them. I got a customer service rep that emailed me back apologizing, whatever. But every company should say this. If you don't want to wait online, we will call you back.
Correct. Yes, every
single company.
Every company should have that option where you leave your name and your number, and then they will try to get back to you as soon as possible.
They don't. Not all companies will do that.
I know.
But anyway, my theory is if I called.
That makes it better. If they just call you back, and you don't have to wait online, right. Obviously.
My theory is if I called at 7:30 or whenever this utility company opens up, I'm going to get that same message about.
Oh, of course. It's
longer hold times than usual. It's built in. It's bogus.
It's their built-in way of reducing customer service.
You know who wastes a lot of time around here? Drab. Drab is the biggest time waster I've ever seen in my life.
Time waster Drabby?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, first of all, that is completely untrue. At work, I think I'm very productive.
Because, why are you saying that?
He's not efficient with his time. Every time I need him to cut a cameo, he's always like, just give me 30 minutes.
Right. And I come back. Not part of your work.
And
though.
I come back and all he's doing is scrolling through Instagram babes and everything.
that's not true.
He's on Twitter and all he does is waste time. And I'm very efficient with my time and it bothers me.
It sounds like it.
All right. But what is wasting time? Like, what is I don't consider sitting on hold wasting time. That's like a necessary evil.
Well, I mean, you're only wasting time because you have to have
to
the
what?
Phone. I don't know. I don't know what JP's doing in those 2 hours.
But, like, what is Valdez so productive at? Like, what is he getting to? He get home to cook a three-hour dinner and to listen to the Hank Haney podcast.
Shows.
Like, for what? He's not doing anything either. He's just sitting around his house.
He considers that production.
Yeah. You know what's not productive? Taking two-hour naps. Now, I went to bed at 6:45 last night, so.
Oh, jelly. I will tonight.
Yeah,
I will
tonight. You know what? I'm texting Valdez important show and station information in prime time, and this guy's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, he's not seeing it until the next morning. Yeah.
Well, I can't help it. I was in bed.
I don't blame you for being in bed, especially in this weather. It's depressing.
I do feel a little sheepish because I just checked out my Instagram activity.
Yeah, and by the way, for the week, I average 8 minutes and 45 seconds on Instagram a day.
Well, it's very sparse.
Cakes, wow. Check yours.
How do you check that?
What? Let me guess what yours is, Drabby.
Okay.
You have the number in front of you,
well,
right?
Well, that's like actually like you're on the app, like okay. Scrolling through it.
Right. Right. I'm going to say you're at 8 minutes.
I'm at 8 minutes, 45 seconds.
I'm going to say
that's what I average a day.
42 minutes for Drab.
45 minutes for the week.
Wow.
A day.
A day.
That's a lot.
A day.
That's a lot.
Seems like a lot.
45 minutes a day.
But you know what? I spend a lot of I scroll Instagram in the shower. I take my phone in the shower.
And by the way, this is not including TikTok, and he loves TikTok. And he's
you like my daughters.
He's scrolling through TikToks, too. So think about it. He's about an hour and 30 minutes between reels and TikToks a day.
Over the Christmas break.
Look. Yeah, look at his face.
I don't know what to say to that. But
he has no recourse on that.
And we're not including Twitter.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Twitter's included.
I don't know how to check your Twitter activity. My computer would explode.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's probably 3 hours.
I tried to process that information.
Well, you do stay up late. It's not like you go to bed early. So yeah. I can't imagine at home when the kids go down what you're doing. I know you're watching TV, but you're probably all on your phone.
By the way,
probably
I would argue.
Two or 3 hours.
Who's not on their phone all day? We all are.
I would argue usually, in Drab's defense.
But I'm not on social media, so I'm different.
That napping is not a waste of time.
No.
He's re-energizing his body to get through the rest of the day.
No, a nap's not the waste of time. Look, according to this, even you could make an argument that his Twitter, his social media, the Instagram, that's not a waste of time. That's entertainment.
Oh, it's definitely entertainment. I think they're categorizing
waste of time are things that you're not being productive at. You're not being entertained. You're just stuck in traffic. It is a waste of time. If you're in a long line.
Let me tell you, a lot of entertainment is wasted time.
I
wasted a lot of hours watching the NFL this weekend, just sitting on my ass doing nothing.
Hey, that's work-related.
Now, I enjoyed it.
But tell me anybody in the world who is productive for every minute they're awake.
Like,
they're just not.
Nobody. Dr. Drew. That's it. The guy's got 100 jobs.
All right.
He's the only one.
Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, those guys are productive.
Right. That's why they're making $40 million a year.
Yeah.
But unless you're doing podcasts every 10 minutes, you're going to have downtime. And you need downtime. JP, you need downtime.
Yeah, I didn't even know how to check some of those things. I'm new to Instagram. It showed up as 8 seconds. So I guess I do a post and then I don't come back for a couple days. I'm like Cakes.
I can tell you, my Instagram time is very limited. Super limited.
That might have been today, 8 seconds. I don't know.
Wow. Well, mine's 0 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking to the wrong group of old fogies here.
Yes, you are.
What are you? Am I supposed to believe Instagram's not popular?
No, I know it is.
Because of guys like you.
And I know TikTok is. Look, my daughter, that's going to be your profession. She's going to graduate in 4 months, Jason Bishop. Mm. And she's not going to get a real job because she's making money on TikTok.
Good for her.
I did tell
her.
What can you do?
I told Valdez this on Bit Season that you guys do sleep on TikTok and it gets a bad rap. Mm. It's not just smoking hotties doing dances.
There's more to it than that.
There's a lot of education. There's so much cooking stuff
educational.
On. Yeah. Whatever you're interested in, cakes.
King time waster.
I just don't care. No. I don't care enough about it.
I consume information. That's what I do.
Yes, that's how
I learn about a lot of different things.
No. I don't know enough about I'm not on TikTok.
I know a lot about it.
But I have a buddy. About a lot. And I think he's 39 or 40 years old. And he's constantly sending me text messages of like TikToks of like MMA fighters and just random stuff. There's a million things on TikTok, like you said.
Sure, that's why.
It's just a different format.
What were you doing before TikTok?
MySpace.
Organizing his top friends.
You know what? I got no memory of life before,
I can't even imagine before social media.
Life didn't exist before
social media.
I don't know.
You and Bickle lead the world in social media posts and hits and views and all that nonsense.
I know. You send EB a DM on Twitter, he gets back to you in 3 seconds. Straight to his brain.
Well, he needs some help all the way around.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I just don't. There's no one that's just productive for every minute they're awake. I mean, there's times when people just have to chill. They just got to relax, take a break.
I'm uber productive. I'm always multitasking. I'm listening to books or podcasts while I'm grocery shopping or working out.
Are you 80? Who listens to books? It's under 80.
He's getting ready for his Jeopardy appearance.
I guess so.
I just got John Feinstein's book, The First Major. I'm listening to that while I'm while I'm doing a bunch of stuff.
All right. Well, some people would say that's not productive.
It's entertaining.
Thank you.
I don't know. I'm just not a social media guy, so I guess I have a lot more downtime than all you guys because I'm not viewing all of this.
I'm always doing the dishes as I make dinner.
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff at the house, no doubt.
Well, I'm looking forward to 9:55 when I'm going to be uber unproductive.
What's on the docket today, Cakes?
Definitely a nap. Lock a nap. Maybe a Game of Thrones episode.
Why do you need a nap? You got up at like 5:20. I was up at 4.
Can always use a nap. That's drab. You can always use an extra nap.
You lucky MF-er. Why couldn't I get the Comrex and be working from my office?
Days wide open, JP.
Hey, fellas, break away from the expected and grow your career at Eagle Hill Consulting. When you join their team of high performers, you make an impact from day one. Ranked one of Vault's Consulting 50. They're dedicated to making a difference and want you to bring your unique background to your work every day. Ready to see where your skills will take you? Apply today with at least 3 years of experience, a college degree, and most importantly, your authentic self. Visit weareeaglehill.com to learn more. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8:20, Ben Valin, senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe, will join us. We could talk about New England flailing in the playoffs and what they will do looking ahead. Tim Doyle joins us at 9 o'clock, NBA analyst, as we could talk some Wizards and more.
We're going to be joined by Coach Lobb here in a few seconds. He's presented by Caesars, the official sports book of the Washington Capitals.
That is right, Jason Bishop. He is brought to you by Caesars, and I believe Rabby is efforting him.
Yep. Good win last night. I know that they had struggled over the last four or five games, but they got that overtime win, Cakes.
First overtime win of the season. got that in the...
Guys, good morning.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, good win last night, my man. I know...
it's good.
You know, it's a long season. You're going to go through little down stretches like you had in the last four or five games, but you get that overtime win. Give us your assessment of how your boys played last night.
It was good. I mean, when you get down 2-0, you know, in the first 10 minutes of the game, 6 minutes of the game, you got an uphill road for the rest of the night. So I thought our guys did a good job of just staying with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought the goal at the end of the first period was big, just to get that goal to go back in the room at 2-1. That's a much more, you know, the hill was not as steep. And so we got that goal. I thought that was really good. And then played a good second period, tied it up. It went to the third. I thought we did a good job in the third. I mean, it was disappointing. We lost it there in the last minute and had to go to overtime. But it was nice to finally get a win in overtime, too.
Hey, Coach, did you even get your bearings on the bench before you guys were down 2-0? I hadn't even cracked my first can of 12 ounces of Sleep Aid, and you guys were in a 2-0 hole. I was like, what is happening here? Was your head, like, spinning early?
Yeah, no, I know. Can you imagine being all jazzed up for the game and your wife makes you take the trash out or something, you come back in, it's 2-0. Right. Talk about ruining your night, you know.
Right, right.
And it wasn't after the first period, it wasn't like we weren't ready to play. You know, sometimes you come out slow or you don't have the jump or everything is just sleepy and it just, you know, you got to wake them up a little bit and try to get it going. It wasn't like that, like not from what I was seeing anyway, not the game. And so I thought that, that was tough when you're dealt that penalty right at the beginning of the game in the first 2 minutes. So before you even get into the game, you're killing a penalty. And it was just kind of not a fluky goal, but, you know, they shoot the puck, they miss the net on the short side, it comes out and it's a real hard angle shot, and Vitek tries to get back there, not much he could do there. And then the next one was just, you know, what we did do in the first period is we made a couple mistakes in the offensive zone just with, you know, the positioning of our guys when the puck turned over, and we let guys behind us, and I think we gave up maybe 2 2-on-1s, we gave up a breakaway, we gave up 2 3-on-2s, and so there was probably 5 or 6 odd man rushes, and so they scored on one of the 2-on-1s. And so that was more just a mental mistake than it was like not being ready to play. I thought we were ready to play, but, and then even at the end of the period, like I thought we outchanced them. I thought, you know, the shots were in our favor, we outchanced them, we got the goal to come back into it. It's just the way the game started.
Coach, we were talking about the goalie numbers, and I'm sure you're aware about it. If you look at save percentage, I believe Vitek is 23rd, Sammy's 37th. How would you assess the goalie play this year for the Washington Capitals?
You know, there's been games that these guys have played really well, and you know, I think we'd like to get to a point where maybe one of them grabs the rope and pulls it their way, and they're the guy that gets the majority of the nods, and so just the way it's gone down. I think there's been times when both goaltenders have played really well. There's been times when, you know, they probably wanted to play a little bit better. We want to play a little bit better. And then I think there's some games in there where I don't think we played very well in front of them. Not many, but there's some in there where, you know, like last night, if that game ends 2-0, I don't fault Vitek for those two goals. I thought Vitek played a really good game last night. And I fault, you know, our team because we took a penalty in the first 2 minutes and then we gave up 5 odd man rushes coming back the other way. Like, there's things that we need to do. I don't think that the two goals were bad goals. I thought Vitek played a really solid game. So now that's 2 in a row for Vitek. He played really well in the island, and then he played really well last night. And, you know, I think would be ideal is if one of them, you know, tries to grab that ball and run with it and get the majority of the starts.
You're probably not going to answer this question, honestly, but I'm going to ask you anyway, put you on the spot. Is that a position that you may be assessing free agency to go out and get a veteran before the deadline in March?
I don't even, you know, right now our team has done a really good job through it all. And I think the goaltending has been in, they've each had their moments. I mean, there was a run there where Sammy was getting shutouts. There's been the Reject's last two games have been really, really good. For me, our team has done a really good job of hanging on to where we've been in the standings through an awful lot. You know, we're for sure going to be over 200 man games in injury and guys missing from the lineup. And yet, you know, we're still fighting for the top of the league. We're still fighting for the top of our division. And, we got to keep winning hockey games. And I think all the players, including the goaltenders, have done a good job. Mm-hmm. To me, I would like, going back to the previous question, I would like to see, they're young goaltenders and they're pushing to become number ones. And I would like to see one of them grab the ball here and solidify that so that you can say, this is our guy going into the playoffs. And so they both have had their moments. They both have played well. But yet, still pushing for that one guy to grab the number one spot. The trade deadline's a long ways away. We got a lot of games left that we got to play here and get going. And right now, there's faith in our team. Every night, we believe we're going to go out on the ice and win hockey games, and that's a good thing for our team.
Coach Laviolette, take us through the Ovi goal from last night. Beautiful pass from Hathaway, cross ice, and Ovi just blasts it past the goaltender. I mean, I don't think there's a goalie in his prime on earth throughout the history of the league that's going to stop that shot when it's set up like that.
You know what? It was a really nice play by Half. Kuzi played a great game. Kuznetsov played a great game last night. Half, I thought, going up there, he's really good on his line with Dowd and Hagelin, but again, there's three forwards missing from the top six right now with Sheary out, Oshie out, and Manta out. You want to make sure that there's a balance and that, everybody is getting some veteran players on their line. And so, it would be easy to move Tom Wilson up there, but I thought that Protoss, Backstrom, and Wilson had played well. In the short time that they've been back and they've been on that line, Protoss played a heck of a game last night and thought Backy's starting to find his groove out there. Tom was good. And so I thought that line was really good and really effective. And so, it comes down to trying to fill that spot and we moved Half up there last night. And so I thought on that play, it was a really good pass by Half. Just the way the play went into the zone, it happened quick. Half kind of came over and supported it off of Ovi leaving the puck on one side of the ice and then going to the other side and opening up and really made a nice pass. I mean, right on the money through a little bit of traffic. And then right as O opened up, the puck was there. And you're right. I don't think, especially with him shooting the puck, I mean, that's his sweet spot on the ice anyway. And, he was able to connect on it. So it was a really nice play by Half, and then that goal, like you said, is going to be tough to stop any goaltender.
Coach, you mentioned Protoss. He's a youngster, 21 years old. I know he plays a different position, but because of his stature, how tall he is, do you ever get Chara vibes when you look out on the ice and see him? Because he's 6'6", and on the skates, just a massive human being out there. He had the nice goal to put you up 3-2.
Yeah. He's, what we forget sometimes, right? These guys that have come up here, McMichael and Protoss and even Leeson to a point, other guys have jumped in this year, is that they're so young. So I think both McMichael and Protoss just turned 21. They're just finally able to go have a beer.
Right.
I mean, it's just how they're so young and you see them and when you're here for a while, it's not about them being young players anymore. They're in the lineup and you're expected to be a contributor. And so, watching a guy like Protoss at his age play the game that he did last night was unbelievable. It just gives you just look down the road and you say, when he's 23 or when he's 24 and he's 15 pounds heavier and he's not a first year player in the league and he's, just more powerful, more strong, and more experience under his belt. What type of a player is he going to be? And I thought it makes you, you know, it's he certainly do a great job now, and makes you excited for the future too on what the possibilities are with this kid, because he can skate, he works hard, he competes, he can. I really like the way he competes on pucks and competes in the corners. He's got, like you said, he's tall, he's got long arms, he's got a long stick, so he goes into battles that, you know, he might be 3-4 feet away from, and he's still able to go in and somehow compete on those battles with his stick and his ability to twist his way in there and come up with loose pucks. But you know, skating, as he gets older, skating will become stronger, the shot will become harder, the physicality will become more. And bright future for a young kid, but he played really well for us last night, and he's played well for us this year.
Coach Laviolette, congrats on the first overtime win of the season, and hopefully you guys keep it going. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. All right, have a great day.
You too. Bye. Thanks, Coach.
Coach
Peter Laviolette. Coming up next, we switch gears. Cakes is going to open up his entertainment page.
I am.
Right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.